Welcome to Wolf Talk. I'm Wolf, and my co-host is with me.
Yeah, I'm TJ.
And we have BG and Jason from Fallen Void. How are you doing today?
Good, good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys.
Hey, you too.
So how did you all get started?
It was a very random time. I just put some ads on Craigslist. Literally, these guys, I've never met them, except for Dave. So our other guitarist, I knew him for a couple of years. But I've had bands. I had, two bands back in high school. Nothing like really serious. I had a cover band about 8 or 9 years ago. Never really had like a serious band, and this was really not meant to be that. And this one time before COVID, I just like got a guitar. Actually, I bought this black one, and for some reason when I get like a brand new guitar, it feels different, and I play like cool stuff, like stuff that I wouldn't play with other guitars. So I came up with this riff, and I recorded it and posted it on YouTube and Facebook and all that, and then some guy on Facebook actually reached out and said, hey, I can do like some vocals for it. So he did vocals for it, and I said, well, like, this is pretty cool, like this could like have a little bit of potential. So started looking for like local people, and I found JD first, so we kind of started talking, and he did some vocals. I like his style. He has like this Randy Blythe kind of vocals. And then after that, yeah, I just started putting ads on Craigslist, found BG. Like I mentioned, Dave, I already knew him from a couple years back. And then started writing songs. We put out the first three EPs, and then after the first three EPs, we found Pete, which is the bass player. But yeah, this is all like pre-COVID, or actually, we started pre-COVID, and then we started putting out music like during COVID. So everyone was like working from their homes, sending me like recordings, and I just put it all together.
Yeah, we had two practices before March.
Yeah, we had like two practices and then COVID.
Well, it looks like JD joining us.
Oh, yeah, let me pull him in here real quick.
Hey, JD.
Hey, sorry about the delay. You know, the number one rule about being a front man is to show up late.
Yep.
We were just talking about that.
I do have one of those problems where I have time blindness. So I'm always like, I remember it was like 8:30, and I was like, all right, 10 o'clock, I'm going to be there. And then I looked at my phone, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's 10:07 right now. So it's not really an excuse, but I'm here.
It happens. So anyway, we were discussing how you guys got started.
Cool.
Yes, I went through that. I guess our humble beginnings of Craigslist band.
Yeah.
We auditioned a bunch of a couple of drummers, several bass players, and we had to settle for the handsome firefighter. But yeah, I mean, I think we got pretty good chemistry. We're very laid back. We understand that this is kind of a serious hobby. It's not our main gig. We all have our jobs, our families. We're trying to put out music every couple months. Do at least one gig every month. And I mean, I think it's gone a lot further than I thought it would.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I saw one of your music videos just pretty professionally for just being on the side. So you did a pretty good job. I know we were talking backstage about that just a little bit. So you handled just about all that. Is that right? So
most of it. So yeah. So the last two videos, actually three videos, we actually paid people to record and edit it. But everything else, we've pretty much done in house. So we did the video for the cover for Eaton. So I did that myself. The videos for Puppet, Calamity, and the cover for Eaton. I think there's one more that we did ourselves. We just like put cameras on tripods and recorded ourselves playing, and I would do the edits.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was Nothing was the other one we did.
Oh yeah, Nothing, yeah. So that was the first music video that we actually like got together and did. That was like 2021, I think, or late 2021 or early 2022. I don't remember right now.
Sometime during the blur that was like COVID. Mm-hmm. It might have been 3 months, it might have been 3 years, I don't know.
It might have been 2020. I remember, yeah, we did it outdoors just so we don't get sick.
Well, every once in a while, you still get that inkling when you wake up. Is COVID over yet? Oh, yeah, it is.
Right. You know, like,
and then I wake up this week and I have it again, so it didn't feel like it's over.
Yeah. Actually, Jason, didn't you get COVID like right after that music video?
Yeah. After, so it was, Dawn. It was after Dawn. Yeah. It was like 2 days or like a day or 2 days after Dawn. So I had to like call the guys that did the recordings and, hey, like, you might want to get tested. We did everything outdoors, but you might want to get tested just in case.
So how did you come up with the name Fallen Void?
That's a very boring story. I like, I'm a huge gamer. So I've been playing a game called Destiny for. Yeah, so I started playing it when it first came out, and then when I started the band, I think the game had already been out for a couple of years, and that's basically the only game I've been playing at that point. And I remember like there's like subclasses for the characters, and one of them is like a void class, and then there's a type of enemies, and then they're called like the Fallen. So. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about names, and I told JD, hey, I like the word Fallen, and I like the word Void, but I want to come up with something that, like, has those words. And JD is like, how about Fallen Void? that makes sense.
I mean, that was a good put together.
No, yeah, it is. I mean, we've heard weirder on the names before when we've asked that. So I know you kind of mentioned, so when you're actually like writing, I said you kind of mentioned that it's kind of collaborative kind of effort sometimes. Can you kind of explain kind of you guys how you go about that? Or
so I write, I guess the most of the, I guess the basis of the song. So I write a lot of riffs. I kind of put them together and then kind of give it to them and say, hey, I'm stuck here, or maybe there's like a bridge or something, and they might come up with ideas. JD, like, hey, there's like this verse, you might want to repeat it, or you want to cut it, make it shorter. I program all the drums, but I'm not really good with like fills and stuff, so I do like the very basic drum parts, and then I say, BG, here's the drums I wrote, just do your magic. And yeah, Pete, I'm not a bass player, so I can write like very basic parts, but Pete is a really good bass player, and he comes up with all this crazy stuff. And then same thing, I don't do leads, so or solos. So same thing with Dave. I just say, hey, solo is from this part to this part, just do your thing. That's like one of the things I can't do. I do like a very basic solo for one of the songs that should be coming out in the next couple months, maybe. But it's not like I'm not doing like sweep picking or anything like that.
See, but it's smart because it's really, you can play it live every time and just nail it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave writes these super complex solos he has to practice. Yeah, I like how we do the vocals too. Like, you know, sometimes Jason just sends me like an idea or like kind of how it's working, and then he usually gives me like some rough lyrics or I'll do some lyrics, so it's very back and forth. Like this one that he mentioned we might release soon. He had an idea, and I kind of wrote some like temporary stuff, and then one day I sat down and really ran with like his idea of it, and now I feel like it's actually like come together in a cool way. So it'll either be like, and oftentimes, I guess, we don't tell each other necessarily what the song is about. It's just all kind of based on feel and vibe. Usually it winds up being roughly the same concept, but, you know, sometimes it does make for interesting stuff. I would say overall, if it's very like pointed towards a political or like cultural event, Jason probably wrote it. If it's a little more esoteric and like, you know, inner thought process, I probably wrote it. And then together it makes a nice balance of like real world stuff and like internal struggles and whatnot.
Now, how did y'all get into music?
I think the first time I got kind of like interested in music was a PlayStation 1 game called Twisted Metal. So it had like some kind of like generic heavy thrash metal kind of music on it, and then Tony Hawk came out, and like all these punk rock songs, Goldfinger, Bad Religion, all that really cool stuff, and I kind of just snowballed from there, where I started like discovering heavier and heavier stuff. And then I was pretty young when I got my first guitar. It was a piece of crap. I didn't really do anything with it. But then I think I was about 15. I bought a Epiphone Explorer, and then I got a small crate amp, like a solid state amp, and it sounded awesome at the moment. Me looking back, it sounded like garbage. But at that time, like 15-year-old me, that was like the heaviest thing ever. And I was playing along like some of my favorite bands back then, At the Gates, Cannibal Corpse, stuff like that. And then I had a very long pause of probably over 12, 13 years that I didn't even touch a guitar until I moved to the States.
Where are you originally from?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico?
There's not really a big metal scene there.
How about you, BG?
Like, I don't know. I always wanted to be a drummer, like, before I even have, like, memories. Yeah. I knew that I wanted to be a drummer, so I was, like, in school band. Like, you know, like, marching band and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I started playing like the drum set like when I was 14 or something, and I just like practiced, and I mostly started with like rock and roll and stuff. And when I went to college, I got put in these like apartments off of campus, and I was like, looking back on it, is actually kind of like selfish that I brought my entire fucking drum set and put it in this tiny little apartment. Like, everyone apparently could hear me like up and down the street or whatever. But anyway, I didn't realize this. So one day I was practicing, and then like when I was done, I went out, and like another guy in the building was like, "Hey, I heard you drumming. Do you want to be in my band?" I was like, "Okay." And it was like a prog, progressive death metal band, and that's how I kind of like got catapulted into heavier metal and stuff. And they took me to like my first like death metal concert, etc. And then like I've just been in bands ever since, basically.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
How about you, JD?
Yeah, I mean, similar kind of stuff. Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero, also probably definitely.
Guitar Hero, yes. I love Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I actually got my Guitar Hero guitars from my parents' house over Christmas break and brought them back, and been playing Guitar Hero 3 a bit. A little throwback. It's been fun. So that probably played a role in me like wanting to play an instrument. Now, to be fair, I played piano for like 7 years as a kid. I was in choirs and stuff all throughout like school. I did musicals and theater stuff. But I guess I was probably around when Guitar Hero came out. Towards the end of high school, I got a guitar. Me and my friends all kind of made a band, and I did rhythm guitar and vocals. We went to college, went our separate ways, and I had gotten pretty into, like, Lamb of God at that time, and I was like, I want to learn how to, like, sound like him. And I watched, like, the world's worst YouTube videos over and over, like, these kids, like, saying how, like, you gotta sound like the thing from The Grudge, and, like, that's gonna magically, like, make you a screamer. And eventually, I, like, did something that kind of worked. It probably took, like, a year, and then I was like, that didn't really hurt, and it sounded cool. And then I just practiced that for a while. And then sort of I just was, like, a in-the-car singer, I guess I would say, from then on. Like, I had the proper singing training, but, you know, I didn't want to, like, show people necessarily the screaming stuff. I'm like, I don't know if it's good or bad. And I played a little bit of bass, and one of my old roommates had a drum set that they just left there when they moved out. So played a little bit of all the instruments, but always felt like vocals is what I could do really well at. And then when I moved up here and was bored and thought about what could I do for fun, I thought joining a band would be fun. So found Jason, was like, all right, I'm going to go full in on the vocal stuff. So
there you go.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So what? So if you guys are working on anything new or anything you might be planning here in the future, recent?
Yeah, we got one song that's almost done. So we got a couple things that we need to work on.
Played that song like 3 times live. So if you come see us live, you can get the preview of the new stuff. It's a good way to kind of work out: do these lyrics work? Does the crowd react well? I think real bands do that. Are we a real band? I think other bands do that.
Yes, every other band does that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that the point when we realized we're a real band was there's like a metal encyclopedia website, and I was just like scrolling over, and I saw our name. I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. Like, we're here.
Oh, yeah.
That means we're a real band.
It was like a real person who put that there. It wasn't like a robot, so we were like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
COVID was an interesting time because everyone was so chronically on their phones all the time. It made it kind of easier to reach out to people because, like, what else were we going to do? You watch a music video.
Oh, yeah, because jobs were cutting off and everything was going home, and people had nothing better to do.
Mm-hmm. So that did help us out. Now we just, you know, try to play shows, and that's kind of, it's a different way of, like, reaching out, branching out, but it's been interesting.
I mean, COVID created this. This is how I came up. I came up with my idea. So
nice.
Yeah,
we technically kind of started after COVID, kind of. It just kind of happenstance. That's just kind of the way it worked out. So you guys are planning on? I know you said you're doing shows. Are you guys? Where do you guys are kind of travel off to? You just doing it locally, or you kind of go out, yonder off a little further out, or?
Yeah, right now it's local. I think we're all kind of open to this idea that it'd be fun to, like, maybe take a long weekend or something and get out there, or, like, take a week off and do sort of that. But since we all have full-time jobs, it's a little more tricky because we're like, well, you know, got to pay the bills, and, you know, trying to be a full-time band, it can be a bit rough sometimes, as the other bands we've met have told us. So, but mostly local.
We typically do shows in Richmond, Fredericksburg, and Frederick, Maryland. Those are like the 3 places that we've been we're going to be there more than one time.
Baltimore,
we did one time, yeah. I mean, they seem to like us.
Connections in Tennessee, so we might do a Tennessee weekend here at some point.
Well, swing through Ohio. I can get you a gig.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think so. They keep inviting us for our gigs in Richmond. So I think they like us. That might be a good sign.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, we did.
We have gotten good feedback. You know, when you get reinvited, right? That's typically a good sign.
Usually.
Yeah, and we're not playing Perth anymore.
I show up just in time to make it.
Yeah, and we're not playing first anymore, so that's also pretty cool.
We don't break anything, you know. We bring some people out to the show. That's and we start and end on time. That's what you need, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That's absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that already beats like 90% out there showing up.
Yeah. One of the funny times was we showed up. I was actually on time this time, too. We were all on time. We were like kind of early, actually, because one of our earlier shows and the baby shower going on.
Oh, at my the same gosh. Venue,
and they were like running late. So the whole show got pushed back like an hour because we were waiting on this. And this was like a lit baby shower. They had like a DJ and they were popping champagne. Very odd. But yeah, they just like, I don't know. We just had a weird time.
Like, yeah, like, something. I don't know.
It was and that's kind of sad that they're, you know, you're having alcohol at a baby shower and the mothers to be is can't drink. So, I mean,
it was definitely a little odd, but we were mostly just like, all right, can you, you know, wrap it up? We want to, you know, go on stage.
Yeah. Although it'd been funny if you were playing at the same time, right? And that might have been a, you know, might have got the baby shower really lively then.
Yeah, no kidding.
Could have been interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, but, like, it wasn't really up to us, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, well, you just set up now.
So you got new videos coming out?
So we did, Cold, released Cold. I think it's been 1 week now, right?
Yeah, about a week. It's been a week.
Okay, yeah, I'll put the link in the chat.
Yeah, so that's the last one we released. We have ideas for the next two videos. So the next song that we're going to do a video is called Hail the Steel Idols. So it's about how some people worship guns or I guess put more emphasis on guns and freedoms over like children's lives. So one of the ideas we have is let's try to find somewhere that kind of looks like a school, and then let's do a video there. I've been looking, I haven't found anything, so we might have to like drive up to somewhere a little bit further away to find a place to do it. So, but that's the next idea, and then the next song is gonna be Worth It. And so the lyrics for that song, I got a bunch of ideas from like Magic the Gathering cards. So the idea of the video is going to be that Dave, that for some reason he doesn't like Magic the Gathering, so he's going to be like the unbeatable player at a like a card shop, and then I'm going to come in because I've been playing Magic for a long time, so I'm going to come in like this rogue guy. Out of towner, and then just play Magic with him and beat him. He's gonna like flip a table and all that.
That's cool.
So yeah, so there's a card shop close to my house so the guys, the owners, they're all metalheads. So I'm in talks with them so they can like give me the space there to do the video. And then there's like a Slack channel that all the players talk. So I'm gonna invite everybody, and it'll be a cool time. But
that
fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun to, you know, get a whole crowd together and just, it'd be totally different, right? You know, I feel like we always try to not just completely do your stereotypical metal video, right? This one was a little more, I wouldn't say a stereotypical metal, but just like music video. We kind of try to do like a more serious one, a more fun one, a more serious one, fun one, and just kind of, you know, mix it up. But, yeah, we just need to make sure that Wizards of the Coast doesn't sue us. I guess that's the main goal. Or they got bought now, right? Who owns them?
Was it Hasbro?
Yeah, Hasbro. So
Hasbro.
Yeah, so as long as Hasbro doesn't sue us, we should be good. Also, we're thinking we might make our own cards of like ourselves and like use that as kind of like a promo type stuff. So.
We usually, from my experience, they usually leave you alone until you start making a good amount. Then that's when they'll come after.
Right.
You.
Right. Yeah, they're going to really come after our, like, $10.
Yeah.
Everything's fair use till you start making money.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can also promote their place when you do it if you're going to have a crowd in the background or whatever, because you can have people still buying stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I'm going to try to talk to them, and hopefully they can open up the shop maybe a little bit early so that we don't really disrupt business.
Right.
But the goal is to kind of like have people actually playing while we shoot the video.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah, you guys have a pretty good content. I mean, for kind of how you said, yeah, you're just doing it part-time and everything, it looks pretty good. So I would be pretty proud of some of the videos you guys got.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem. Right. Well, I also do that for later, so I can kind of see when someone put in a lot of work and stuff. So
yeah, I feel like in general, I don't know if it's like Jason's mixing skills or what, but some of how we put these things together is really like held together with like duct tape and toothpicks or whatever, you know. But yeah. It like comes across, like the first EP, I actually recorded the entire thing on my laptop on a Guitar Hero microphone in my car, because that's just what I had at the time. And I was in an apartment and I didn't want my neighbors to think that I was like, you know, dying or doing some weird ritual sacrifice or something. So yeah, I would go out to my car with a Guitar Hero microphone and...
Oh my goodness.
You know, it, the magic of mixing, you know, it came
to... Who's to say that would actually work?
Yeah. No, I think there's something to like all of the weird... Like cars are kind of soundproof to a degree, right? So that you don't hear outside noise. So maybe there was like... It kind of balanced out, but... Either way, yeah, stuff like that where it's like... I'm surprised that worked, but it did. You know, I'll take it.
No, I'm the same way. Like, if I, you know, I would try to keep a method, and they're like, okay, well, this song's pretty similar to the next or that one as far as sound wise, so I'll mix it just the same, and it'd be like, oh, that totally didn't work at all. So I have to completely do it different this time. But yeah, no, I definitely know the struggle on that.
Mm-hmm. So do you have art? Sorry.
Feel better, I guess, when. I look at, like, you know those, like, song exploder things where they, like, explain how songs are made or, like, mm-hmm. the individual tracks? Mm-hmm. Like, there's one of, it was actually a Kid Cudi song. I guess it was Day and Night. And he had so many vocal layers that you don't even hear. And I was like, okay, cool. So it's normal to just, like, layer all these random things and, like, hope it sounds good. It's something at least someone else has done, and they got decently famous for it. So, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's we've been doing that a lot lately. Like a lot of my lead singer solo stuff, like he's gotten pretty fancy with going back and then doing the harmony after there's been a few times he's went pretty crazy with it. Like it almost sounds like he has a whole entire group singing with him. He's added so many different fills into his voice.
Right.
Oh, so and do you guys have a website or anything you guys want everyone to visit so they can find all your links or anything like that you might want us to post?
FallenVoid.com. Yeah, everything's there. We got flyers for upcoming shows, all of our latest videos. We got a link for merch if you want a t-shirt. Pictures. Do you want to see our faces?
See your face.
Well, yeah, definitely go buy their merch.
New shirt idea. I need to actually like put it together properly at the right, like, what do you call it? Like the right resolution so that they can print it well. But I got a really cool idea by playing around with some of those generative AI things. I know that's like, you know, you're not supposed to do that, but artists don't like that. But I took it to get the idea and I'm actually drawing it myself. So I feel like that's fair, right? When you use it to give you like kind of an idea and then you build it yourself, I feel like that's a fair way to use the...
Well, when you don't have money to spend... So the cover for Hell to Steal Idols is actually AI generated.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And then for Worth It, so I have a couple of things that are AI generated. I might hire someone and then just give them those pictures and say, hey, I want something that looks like this. And then they can actually draw something. But yeah.
Well, that's the thing I noticed too, right? Like it gets you like close to what you want, but there's always like a few weird things about it. You really need someone who's still an artist to clean that up or make it the right resolution, you know.
It's funny you mention that because that's exactly what I do. So I did make everything by hand at first, and then I started like putting some of the AI images in. But what I'll do is I'll usually just transpose a character orb and then I'll put it in something I actually made and like add all the details. So it'll be completely different from what the actual image was. But yeah, and clean up like all the little, you know, edges and stuff that are some weird thing that doesn't match with the rest of the picture or something like that.
And I mean, I think that's just kind of where we're at with the technology, right? Like, it's not going away. I don't think it's going to, I know people are worried it's going to take jobs or whatever, but I think the fact that it's never going to be quite perfect just by nature, that's where you need the actual person to come in and make those final changes. So it'll just help you output stuff faster, maybe do things more creatively. I don't know. If you treat it like a tool, right?
I can also attest to you, like, you have to know how to talk to the AI first before it'll do what you want. So, you know, there's some skill involved in that, too. So
Absolutely. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, and like, my brother-in-law is an English professor, and he said that, you know, it's really obvious when someone's paper is written by it because the sources are, like, totally made up. Like, he had a student submit a paper, and it looks really legit, like it was a cited source, but when you go to it, it's like an actual author who has written papers kind of like that, but, like, it just made up that paper, you know?
Yeah, so I work in application security, so kind of information security, but for, like, software. And a lot of coders nowadays, so they're basically typing what to a chatbot, what they want to do, and then the AI will write the code for them. So one of the things that's happening is that the AI is coming up with all these libraries that don't really exist. And what people are doing, or hackers are doing, is that they're getting those names, those libraries that don't exist, and actually creating libraries, but they actually have malware. So when you ask the AI, hey, write me a code that does some API call or does something, it'll give you some made up packages. And then if you actually deploy them, they actually end up being real, but they're not real. They're malware. So it's fully relying on AI. It's not really that great, at least not now, but
5 years from now, maybe it might change, but
just waiting for the Jetsons, you know, little robot to clean up after me and stuff.
And the whole transport is halfway across, you know, to town or to work without having
teleportation, to get that. That's what we need.
Yeah,
I just want a Roomba that doesn't get stuck.
Well, did you have any other questions or anything you wanted to?
I mean, they covered it because I rudely interrupted JD and asked about merch, but he continued his conversation.
Sure. Oh, sorry. I thought I heard you talking, and I kind of might have talked to you. I'm sorry about that. But I'm glad we answered it anyway.
Was there anything
you did.
Is there anything you guys want to tell your fans or anything before we head out tonight?
Was it next Saturday? Is that our show?
Saturday, yeah.
Saturday the 27th in Richmond, and then Valentine's weekend, the Saturday, I think it's the 17th of February. In, where is it? Fredericksburg?
Adventure Brewing. That is a really cool place. Yeah, we did a Halloween show. We actually dressed up as the villains from Mario. I actually sang the song Peaches from the Mario movie.
We
have the whole recording of it. It's not the best quality.
But you
can watch that whole concert on our Instagram somewhere.
Well, we're getting ready to have another show here, maybe in a month or so too, where we'll bring other bands on and like play their music, kind of have a versus thing, and like pick a winner. We'd love to have you on again sometime, and maybe we'll have you on there once we got that going and everything.
Yeah, it's called Battle of Artists.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, couple of shows coming up, and keep following us, and really appreciate you having us.
Oh, no problem. It's our pleasure. Well, that's all we want to do. We want to try to highlight independent artists and try to get the word out for them and just kind of all help each other, you know.
For sure. I do love that about the scene in general. It does feel like a lot of people supporting each other, you know. It doesn't feel completely individual.
Yeah, no, we definitely, you know, I always tell this to other guests, I've said it a couple times, you know, we outnumber the top 1%. If we all band together, they wouldn't have any choice to but keep the royalty and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, one of these days, maybe we'll get enough bands and artists all aligned together to go after all these stuff in the industry that's kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. But well, we thanks for guys coming on. I guess we'll be back on Wednesday,
Wednesday.
At our normal time at 9 p.m. Central. So this has been Wolf Talk. This is TJ.
And I'm Wolf.
We want to thank everyone for Fallen Void for coming on. Check our comments. So it has all the links for their YouTube video and their website. And you guys stay awesome. We'll see you Wednesday.
Rock on.
Bye, guys. Thanks for joining.
Yeah.
Bye. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Not a problem.